This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Well, it feels like we're living in an alternate universe. Welcome to Triple Captain. Hi.
Are you still in dreamland, are you?
thought you might jump in there, Rich.
Sorry, I thought you were just going to explain the weekend.
We are in an alternate universe, it seems. United lose 6-1 to Spurs. Liverpool then lose 7-2 to the mighty Aston Villa. I mean, what that means for FPL, we shall discuss, but it's crazy times, isn't it? Let's remind everybody who we are first.
Yeah, so my name's Rich Wolfenden, commentator for TalkSport, FPL. Where did I finish again? I've already forgotten. 62,000 last season, so significant improvement on the 2.3 million or whatever it was the season before. So that's me. We've got a special guest, but do you want to introduce yourself first?
Thanks, Rich. I'm Luke Jurdy. I'm at Luke Jurdy on Twitter, and we are, of course, Triple Captain, the FPL podcast, helping you get to the top of your mini league. We're at Triple Captain 3 on socials. And yes, we are joined by a really special guest. It's Toby Tarrant, everybody, from Radio X.
I said it, and I was like, question mark on the end of that.
In my head, I was like, "Yeah, it's definitely Radio X."
it's an honour to meet such a big fan, Luke.
I think you were you on last season? You were on last season, weren't you?
I was. Yeah. A memorable experience, clearly. But
mate, my brain's fried.
By the way, just straight away, as a work colleague of Rich Wolfenden's at Radio X. Hang on, do you open with I'm a commentator for Talk Sport?
It qualifies the football world, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I thought your business card said Friday, Saturday night, indie show, Radio X. Commentator for Talk Sport. I'll be telling our boss about that.
Mate, if you want to preview and tease my show during your show, just remember Talk Sport's Rich Wolfenden Friday, Saturday nights on Radio X. Please do that.
Exactly. We've managed to headhunt him. We've managed to lure him away from Talk Sport. Unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway, it's lovely to be here, chaps.
Yeah, nice to have you on, mate.
Actually, that's bollocks. No, it's not. It's terrible to be here.
Come on, let's talk us through it, Toby. Let's dive straight in. We are, of course, also joined by producer, the inimitable background Ben, who has, well, I mean, he's a Villa fan, so we'll get to that. I think he's itching to speak, but let's go to let's hold off. Let's go to Toby first.
We can mute him for a start.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us about your game week, Toby, and how the season's been going so far.
I've been doing fantasy football. I've been in fantasy football for, I don't know, how as long as everyone's been doing it, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years. And I've never seen, let alone being responsible for, what I saw this weekend with my own fantasy football team. So it was going all right until just before Man United and Liverpool kicked off. So I was about seven players gone. I had about 30 points and I thought, do you know what? Luke Shaw, Robertson, Alexander-Arnold, Rashford and Greenwood to play. Sorry, five left. I thought, do you know what? I could be on for a nice 50 points here, maybe a couple of clean sheets, maybe a goal from Rashford or Greenwood. And then I proceeded to watch my three of my back four between them concede 13 goals. Luke Shaw got booked, should have been sent off for the worst challenge I've ever seen on Lucas Moura. Didn't even look at the ball, just eyed up Lucas Moura's heels from about 10 metres out and kicked him.
That was me for Crystal Palace. That was my kind of challenge.
It really was. If I play football with Rich, unfortunately, every Monday, and he is the dirtiest player I've ever played with in my life. And that Luke Shaw challenge is if anybody breaks away from Rich in midfield, which happens about five times a game, he just goes straight for the heel tap, takes him out. And so my back four got negative points. Lucas Digne got two, Shaw minus two, Trent and Alexander-Arnold minus one, Trent and Robert minus one. By the way, the scoring system is flawed because they deserve more than minus one. If you concede seven, how do you only finish on minus one? That's
so
ridiculous.
Bad.
So you know it's a bad week when I was saying to myself late Sunday night, I was just genuinely staring into the distance, just going, thank God for Oriol Romeu.
So who was it? I've heard that line too often.
And you had tell us who you had on the bench.
So, no, I'm a Liverpool fan, so not only do I have to sit through the most genuinely as painful a result as I can ever remember in my life, I had John McGinn and Ollie Watkins on the bench to rub salt into the wound. So I finished the week with 29 points in total and 31 points on my bench.
Oh,
I've never seen that before. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I mean... Sorry, go on, Rich.
Out of the bad luck that we've had on this podcast over the last year or so with, like, triple captain and Mane and he's missing the double game week, Ben not having Lundstrom in his team and that sort of thing, but having more points out of two players on your bench than your whole 11... is insane. I think that goes right to the top of our league table of bad luck.
In all the years I've been doing fantasy football and watching my mates do it, I have never seen anything like what happened to me on Sunday night. It was so promising at about 5 minutes of the kickoff in the Man U Tottenham game. If you had told me to guess what I was going to finish on that week, I would not have docked myself about 5 points.
I mean, to be fair, Toby, I had a little look at your team and I was thinking, well, I wouldn't have done anything differently. The only thing I'd have done differently is I'd have played McGinn instead of Oriol Romeo, and that would have still lost you points because Romeo got one more than McGinn.
That's the irony, is the only dodgy selection I thought in there was probably Romeo, and the only reason I went for him was they were at home to West Brom and he plays in midfield, and I thought Watkins will get two, McGinn will get two, Romeo might get three and get a clean sheet. That was my reasoning. I thought, and this is the tough thing with fantasy football is, as much as you try and be neutral, your allegiance comes into it. And I'm a Liverpool fan. I looked at Watkins and I looked at McGinn and thought, I fancy us to do Villa. And I fancy us to probably keep a clean sheet. So I put in two Liverpool defenders and I left McGinn and Watkins on the bench thinking they were going to get 4 points between the two of them. So I thought, Romeo might get me three. In the end, he got me 11. Sadly, Watkins and McGinn got about 30.
You see, I don't think... allegiances kind of do come into it, but you thought exactly along the lines of every other FPL player or football fan would think. You know, nobody expected that from Villa, at least with, like, you know, at least with United, there's a degree... I mean, I'm a United fan, so you can imagine how I've been feeling this week, just utter desolation. I don't think you did anything wrong, really, like, looking at your team, and I'd have done the same. You know, I've got Trent and Robbo as well, and it's only because my bench isn't strong at all. I haven't got anyone on the bench that's actually playing at the moment, that I played Trezeguet, who got his assist for Villa. But yeah, I think it's just one of those weeks, isn't it? There's not a lot you can do about that. I mean, it was just absolutely mental.
So do you reckon next week you'll bring the Villa boys off the bench because they're in such good form? I mean, I'm looking at my bench options and I'm thinking maybe Mark Noble could do a flying volley for West Ham, you know, just like Oriol Romeo, could happen.
Mate, I'll be honest, my head's gone. I'm scrambled here. I'm a hollow shell of a man, fantasy. This week has destroyed me, mate. I mean, so I'm in a group, I'm in a league, there's about 18 of us, we're in a WhatsApp group. We've got all these weird rules, including whoever comes last has to send a video to the group of them necking a pint within 24 hours. Whoever wins gets to nominate somebody and all this stuff. And you can imagine, like you say, Luke, I genuinely look at it. I looked at it on Sunday night and I went, I wouldn't change my team. Like,
no.
That's the team that But the rules of fantasy football are, mate, if something like that happens to you, if you leave 31 points on the bench, I mean, you can imagine the stick I've got the last few days in that WhatsApp group. So my head's gone. I'm falling apart here. So Rich, as your question, what am I going to do next week? I have not got a clue, mate. I'm falling apart here. I'll be honest. I'm gone.
It's good. I think we always joke that this podcast is FPL therapy, and I think you've got a lot off your chest in the last 10 minutes.
Do you mind if I lie down on the sofa? Actually, is that all right?
Yeah, close your eyes. Just imagine that pitch with 100 million, 100 million in the bank.
Yeah. You're going to show me some ink splodges and ask me what I see, and all I'll see is Ollie Watkins.
hopefully we can help with some decision making this week.
Thank you.
Should we talk through our teams quickly, Rich? How did you what's your overall rank, Toby, at the moment? If you do you want to tell us or not?
I mean, it's not pretty, I wouldn't imagine, but let me have a look for you. So Rich, I finished a few points behind you last season, is that right?
It was close in the old Radio X.
Yeah, it was. So I am currently overall 2.8 million is where I'm currently residing. I wish it showed you how many you dropped in a week, because I'd be fascinated to know.
I think it does if you go on the browser version, not the app. If you go on
right,
the,
okay,
yeah.
I got you. I'll do a bit of digging around for you, but yeah, dropped to, down to 2.8 million, and yeah, so not pretty at the moment.
Plenty of time.
Exactly. I'd rather have this week happen 4 weeks in than 4 weeks from the end of the season. 100%. That's the positivity I'm going
exactly,
for.
Exactly. Go on, Rich. How did you do?
I had an all right week. Well, I say an all right week. I got 50 points, which is two above the average. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll get like a little green arrow. I got a massive green arrow, a massive red arrow. I've gone down from about 450K to 950K. I've absolutely dropped down the league tables. I don't know why. But yeah, like you, Toby, I had Van Dijk, who got a minus two. Why did Van Dijk get a minus two and not a minus one?
Oh, I don't know. That's a very good question. He must have got booked, and I can't imagine what else he did, to be honest. He deserved to lose a point just for when Jack Grealish nutmegged him in the build-up to that goal, to be honest with you.
Maybe that was it. But TAA as well, he got me minus one. My painful thing this week, I mean, it pales in comparison to the bad luck that you've had, Toby, but I decided to captain Richarlison this week, and I think he lasted 20 minutes before he went off injured. So we were umming and ahhing over who to have out of Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison. I'm like, this is Richarlison's time. Richarlison's definitely due a goal. Him and Calvert-Lewin are going to split them all season, but yeah, 20 minutes and off he goes. And with the big captain's armband, he got me a nice healthy two.
Right.
So yeah, just kind of disappointing really for my team. Kane delivered again, got me a nice 16. Salah got me 13. And then McCarthy and Walker-Peters both got clean sheets. So 14 points off of them in total. And then twos across the board. The disappointing thing was I took a minus four this week to get both Ings and Zaha in. And both got a two. So, yeah, not really the best game week. But, yeah, 50 points, it's an all right score. I'll take it.
So, only the 800,000 odd places to make up on me so far, Rich.
Ever in the top of the league and I haven't mentioned this yet. Come on.
Oh, yeah. to be fair, yeah, I would happily switch places for you if United were where Everton are right now. So, I got 64. Again, really happy with that, considering I've got Trent, Alexander-Arnold and Robertson. My entire back line was similar to yours, Toby. It scored four. So five players.
Right.
Ryan got zero. Justin, only the one. Robbo and Trent, obviously, minus one. And then Walker-Peters rolling in with his standard five to 6 points. He got five. And then my forward line really saved it for me, really. I captained Sterling, who got his goal. So 18 from him. Salah with 13. Bruno Fernandes with six, somehow. Trezeguet with five. And Callum Wilson with 16. Wilson. 16 points from Callum Wilson. I mean, what on earth? And Danny Ings rolling in with a two. So I got a small green up to 151,047.
That's good. You're slowly climbing it, but it's a long time to go.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I mean, I think I'm in a good position. I've started pretty well. Ben.
Boys.
There he is. Oh, look at the smile on his
face.
Look
at it. Here he is.
Unbelievable. You know unbelievable.
The first and most important thing to say is, Toby, what a gentleman for still agreeing to come on today. A weaker man would definitely have tried to rearrange.
Oh, no, with a Villa fan, an Everton fan and a Man U fan, I've really picked my week, haven't I? Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I was this happy being a Villa fan. It was just an unbelievable performance, I think. I know we're going to talk about should we rush to get Villa assets in. My answer is absolutely yes.
That's your answer every week, to be fair.
Yeah, but not just in terms of the form, but in terms of the fixtures we've got coming up as well. I think Villa are going to have a really good time between now and Christmas. So I'm delighted. Absolutely delighted. It does make it even better that I'm a Villa fan who lives in Liverpool. Like I said to Toby before we started recording, I have made sure to keep the door locked. And Jem did actually tell me off for yelling too loud when I think the fourth, fifth, sixth and seventh goals went in, because both of our neighbours are huge Reds and it really does reverberate through the walls of these old terraced houses. But I had a good week for once. I had a terrible start, Toby, to this season.
Right.
Dreadful. The whole blank game week one thing really threw me off. Long story short, I thought, you know what, get Son in week one, transfer him out for Bruno week two. Obviously, Son goes on and scores four goals. It was that kind of start to
got
the season.
Got you.
But this week, actually got 72, so I was chuffed at that.
Nice.
I've still got Werner in there. I've just done a quick calculation. It really is a quick calculation. Werner so far has scored 11 points all season. I've actually got three players in my team this week who scored more than Werner has scored the whole season. But I have to say, for me, the players that paid off, Mohamed Salah's two goals were great for my FPL team. Rodriguez as well. James had an absolute stunner of a game. Calvert-Lewin had the captain's armband on him. I've got the Wolves boys at the back, so Saïss and Patricio with a 6 and an 8, which was great. I took a bit of a gamble and I took a -4 to bring in Ross Barkley this week. I thought, you know what? He's going to start. He's going to... Because the kind of talk around him was, he's fit, he's ready to go, he's coming to Villa so he can play games. I just thought, you know what? I always liked him for Everton. I know he hasn't had as much of a chance at Chelsea, but I just remember, you know what? Before I was thinking about whether to bring in Ross Barkley or not, I had Sky Sports on in the background, and that wonder goal he scored against Liverpool where he ran from behind the halfway line and just popped it in the top right. I thought, yeah, I'm going to do it. That's a sign. So I'm glad I bought Ross Barkley. And obviously, I was disappointed that he missed two absolute sitters, which is unbelievable to say, isn't it? With a result like that, to be disappointed. And actually, I have to say what I did like about the Villa kind of press conferences afterwards. Did you see Ollie Watkins? I mean, you probably did turn it off by then.
Yeah, no, absolutely not, no.
Yeah, Ollie Watkins, he had an absolute one-on-one with the goalkeeper right at the end. And they basically said to him, you know, what a perfect hat-trick, left foot, right foot, header. You know, how do you feel? He said, oh, yeah, really good, but I should be scoring those one-on-ones with the keeper. And I just thought, what a lad.
Even though
he's had the best day of his life. He still wants more. So, no, I'm delighted with this week. I mean, it still only brought me up to just, I'm 2 million and 2 million and 45,000. So I'm rapidly climbing because I've started this really badly. But yeah, to be honest, FPL doesn't matter when your team does that, does it?
No. I mean, that is the dream FPL, because there's always that quandary when players are playing against your team. So I've got a Liverpool season ticket. So I go sit in the cop at Anfield. And if we're 4-0 up, it's terrible, but you start looking at the oppo and you know that you've got their striker and go, oh, a little consolation goal here wouldn't be the end of it. You've got the dream result there. You won 7-2 and Salah, your player, scored the two. That's the dream weekend, isn't it? Unbelievable.
I have to say, it was a great performance from Villa. At the same time, you know, Liverpool, it is unlucky that Alisson is out 15 minutes before the game starts. Obviously, Mane's got the cov.
Hasn't Shaqiri got it now as well?
Yeah, Shaqiri and Thiago and Henderson was obviously out. I'll tell you, Henderson was the big miss. Look, we would have lost whatever. We played so badly. Villa were brilliant. We would have lost whatever. But Carragher was saying on comms, there comes a point at sort of 4-1, 5-1, where he said, take your medicine, shut up shop, leave it at 4-1, go home. Henderson was on the pitch. That never would have happened. But yeah, yeah, which is why he bought a Milner, just somebody to basically shout at people. Yeah. But look, doesn't matter. We even if you take out four players, we should not be shouldn't be letting in seven goals in any form of football. So no excuses. We played this weird high line, and high lines are fine. We did it against Arsenal the week before, and it worked really well. But even in that game, Lacazette was through on goal three times. And Villa just timed their runs. That's all you have to do. I'm all for a high line, but what you can't do is play a high line and play the offside trap. So we were trying to catch Villa out as offside on the halfway line, and it just took Ross Barkley or Ollie Watkins holding their run for a millisecond, and they were through on goal. So it was. I mean, Dean Smith outmanaged Jurgen Klopp. Let's be honest about it. He obviously saw something, and he had a plan for it.
I mean, there was signs, wasn't there? Like in the weeks coming up to it, like in the Leeds game, where like the defense looked a bit wobbly, and then Robertson scored a dodgy own goal in that win over Arsenal as well. And it's like the defense just don't look as assured as they did last season. Maybe they're still out partying every weekend, celebrating winning the league.
That's it. I mean, Joe Gomez, I have a bet going on with a mate from about 5 years ago that he was going to captain England one day. That bet is looking worse and worse every minute at the moment. I'll tell you what, though, I'll be honest, I'm the most negative Liverpool fan ever. I always am pessimistic. And I thought pre-Villa game, I looked around and went, we're going to win the league again. There's nobody that can challenge us. City look crap. And then and then you watch that game and that's blown everything wide open, isn't it?
Honestly, yeah. It looks like it's going to be one of those seasons. There hasn't been one for a while where it looks like any team could be any team.
Yeah,
and that's
what
makes the Premier League like so good. Apart from Fulham, they probably look like they're not going to be
and
anybody.
West Brom, and probably
Burnley. There's a few maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are we going to talk about today then, Luke? What's on the agenda? Obviously, we've got an international break.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably do a quick, 20 minute one before right before the next game week deadline as well. But obviously, yeah, we wanted to review this week, which is what we've started to do. I think we should carry on from that conversation and talk just the madness of the Premier League at the moment and what that means for our FPL teams. Do we need to sell Liverpool defenders, for instance? Do we need to completely avoid United players? Do we need to rush to get Villa and Spurs assets? You know, just talk, I think, in general about the whole madness of the season so far and if that will continue. And then we'll answer some Twitter questions, I guess.
Yeah, man, let's do it then. Actually, you know what I want to talk about first? I don't know if you were watching Deadline Day the other day. Harry Redknapp was on with Jamie Redknapp on Sky Sports. And he thinks, Harry Redknapp this is, that Spurs can win the Premier League. He thinks they've got the best squad in the Premier League. Better than Liverpool, better than Man City. And to be honest, I don't know what he's going on about. Surely he's going senile or something now, poor old Harry.
eating too many crocodile anuses in the jungle or whatever, whatever they feed them out there, I don't know.
I saw it as he said it, and I tweeted about it, just saying, yeah, so hold on a minute, Harry. Spurs lost to Everton, then they beat Southampton, who defended with the highest of high lines, then they drew with Newcastle. And then they beat United, who defended like 12-year-olds. And Harry Redknapp thinks that Spurs are now going to win the league because of the depth in their squad. Like, it's Spurs. Let's crack it.
We know the Spurs plan. Get good, get good, get good. Throw it all away. That is what they do.
They're managed by Jose Mourinho. Like, let's not forget, he has lost it. He's not a good manager anymore.
Yeah, he's just a grumpy, entertaining fella nowadays, isn't he? With his documentaries and stuff.
Saying that, we all want Son in our teams, don't we? And Kane.
Mate, you know what? Kane is the one who keeps delivering for me week in, week out. He's not scored that many goals, but I said it a few weeks ago on the podcast, he's turned into Christian Eriksen. He's the man who's like making chances for Spurs and stuff now, and like you never would have seen that at all, because I feel like they were crying out for some creativity in the midfield, because Ali's nowhere near as good as what he was a few seasons back. But yeah, Kane, all of a sudden, he's become this kind of, not false nine, but like a deep-lying like striker sort of thing who's spraying
also,
the ball over.
If you look at Mourinho's whole career, what he does is he has 10 men that defend and one bloke who scores all the goals. Everything goes through him. And I think Kane will, although he's not scored that many yet, will be that figure. But you look everywhere. Inter Milan, it was Militao. He tried to do it with Lukaku when he was at Man U. He did it with Drogba at Chelsea. He plays 10 players who keep the shape and defend, and everything goes through a guy at the front who scores 25 league goals. And that will be his plan, I'd imagine, for Harry Kane. So, yeah, and if he can stay fit, Harry Kane is, you know, there's probably not a better natural goal scorer in the Premier League. So, yeah, he's definitely worth having in.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, like, what worries me about Harry's point is that they have strength and depth everywhere. What if Kane gets injured? Who do they play through the middle?
What about this new lad, Carlos Vinicius, they've just brought in? Don't forget they got Bale ready to come in as well. Is that the depth that he's talking about?
Yeah, they got Gareth Bale. They got Gareth Bale, Jamie. They got Gareth Bale. They're going to win the league.
Terrific.
I don't know. They've got people waiting in the wings. What do you think about this new lad that they've just brought in this week? Is he going to play?
I don't know anything about him, to be fair.
What was his name? I've missed him. What was it?
Vinicius. The thing is, he's the perfect foil to Harry Kane because he's not expecting to play. So he's and they brought him in. They did it with Janssen, then they did it with Llorente. You need to find the right level of player who knows that they're going to sit on the bench behind Harry Kane, get some games off the bench, play Carabao Cup, and if Kane gets injured, maybe get a run out. But I think the thing is, if Kane does get injured, they do it every year. They put Son in the middle, and he's carnage in the middle. So, and I think Lucas Moura's rubbish. Let's be honest. Lucas Moura's rubbish. If he wasn't Brazilian with a fancy name, he hadn't come from Paris Saint-Germain. He's so rubbish. Even my mate Luke, who goes to Spurs every week, he's like, this, Moura's useless. So I think genuinely, to have Bale as the option now instead of Moura is going to be huge when he comes back in. I don't know. Look, he's not going to be the Gareth Bale that won the PFA Player of the Year in his season gone, but he's got to be better than Lucas Moura.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be rushing to get any Spurs players in. I'm probably going to keep Kane in. I think Son coming back last weekend was quite a surprise, wasn't it? Because he was like transferred out quite heavily, and then out of the blue, he was starting the game. But yeah, I wouldn't be bringing in any any Spurs players for this game week if I didn't have them in my team already.
Well, and who knows?
Feel like I didn't. Sorry, I'm sorry. I was going to say I didn't have Son the week where he scored four, and I feel like putting him in now, you've missed that week. It's not going to happen again. I feel like now the horse has bolted, so I refuse to put Son in for the rest of the season. he'll probably score 30 league goals now, but I just feel like if you weren't there for the week of four goals, then you missed it. That's gone, right?
Totally agree.
And also, who knows what's going to happen as well? They play West Ham next, who have just beaten Leicester 3-0 and Wolves 4-0. So what's going to happen in the Spurs game? Like, is it... I mean, I was thinking, well, we've got to get Son in. I mean, he looks absolutely on fire, as does Harry Kane. I think I saw a stat that Kane's played 7, scored 8, and got 6 assists. He's absolutely on fire, isn't he? He looks back to his best. I think against United, he was he looked like he was back to his best. He looked so sharp, clinical finishing, and his link-up play with Son. They're one of the best partnerships in the Premier League right now, aren't they? So I certainly wouldn't be against bringing them in. And like you say, Rich, if you've got Kane or Son, definitely hold them for now. But as we say, is it better to just wait, hold your team? Because who knows what's going to happen week to week?
Even Aurier scored. And he was like one of the ones we were bigging up at the start of the season, Aurier, weren't we? And he's only gone and delivered.
In terms of, sorry, Luke.
I was just going to say, is Luke Shaw the worst FPL asset ever?
Yeah. As somebody who has had him in my team since the second week, I can confirm that he is. Yeah. I mean, he's not a great asset in real life, let's be honest, let alone on FPL.
I think he's championship level at best.
Yeah.
I think he's so horrendously bad. I mean, you'll probably have to get rid of him, Toby, because obviously United have just signed Tellez. So I presume he's going to come straight in.
He's going out this week. He's my international break transfer, I think. He's gone. Last year was the first year I ever did FPL. I used to do the Sky Sports one before. Don't ask why. My mate set it up. We did that for about 10 years. And I used to do well in that and win my league most years and stuff. I'll be in the top two or three. And last year I came third in my main FPL league. And what always held me in good stead in the Sky one was I always thought, get your defence right, because they go under the radar, but if you can nick a clean sheet, two or three a week, then you're laughing. And last year, I didn't really do that. It was my first year doing FPL. So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to go back to my old tactic of get your defence right. So I went for the two Liverpool defenders because they keep the most clean sheets and they get assists. And Man U last year, actually, under Ole, had a decent defence in the league, so I put Shaw in because he was cheap and he plays every week, before Tellez came along. And this season, just defence is just pointless. There's so few. I mean, the weird thing about the two results on Sunday night were we had had the two most normal games of football in a row we'd had all season. Wolves won 1-0 and Arsenal beat Sheffield United 2-1, and it felt like, okay, everyone's got used again to the season and no fans and COVID and we're off again. I genuinely remember watching those two results coming in going, okay, maybe we're going to get back to a bit of normality. And then the two maddest games of football I've ever seen in my life back to back. So yeah, I think defence now, there's not much value in having those defenders that are worth 6.5 million, because no one's keeping clean sheets. So I'm going to get Shaw out and go and get somebody who's a nice 4.5, 4.6, not take up any budget, because as it looks like at the moment, there's going to be about 5 clean sheets. So the Golden Glove competition this year is going to be fascinating. You'll win it with about 3 clean sheets, I think.
You know what, Toby? We were having this exact conversation last week about clean sheets, and I was basically saying that without fans, it means that defenders are putting in more reckless challenges because they haven't got the crowd there to have a go at them afterwards if they get a card or they give away a foul. You've got the strikers who are popping in shots from everywhere. I love a stat. In the 2021 season so far, 38 matches and 144 goals. 144 goals, which is an average of 3.79 goals per match.
It's obscene,
but
isn't it?
The clean sheet's gone, isn't it? Like, there's no point thinking about expenses. Apart from, you know, defenders with attacking returns, yes, but at the same time, surely just fill your team with cheapo defenders at the back. I mean, it's time to look at the teams like Villa, isn't it? In our end of season episode last season, you lot laughed at me when I said one of the first names on my team sheet is going to be Ezri Konsa.
And how many points did he get this week, Ben?
Yeah, okay, this week not so many. But He got one point. But he's got an eye for goal as Esri Konsa. And I think, you know, mate, that was the two.
No one has ever said he's got an eye for goal.
The only two goals that have been put past Villa this season so far have been scored by Mohamed Salah.
I've got to say, Ben, I'm not attracted to any Villa defenders, even though Esri Konsa has got an eye for goal.
But so, Luke, you disagree.
So we're saying to get rid of Trent and Robbo.
I can't see Liverpool keeping loads of clean sheets this season.
What do you think, especially as
Alisson's out for another six weeks potentially?
Is it as simple as that, or is it more
the defence? I think before Adrian got injured, they'd only kept 3 in 13 clean sheets.
I think the thing with Robbo and Trent is they get so many assists. So they are a double-edged sword. It's not like, you know, people say Lucas Digne gets assists, but what does he actually get? He gets about 5 a season, whereas Trent has got 12 and 13 in his last 2 years. So the good thing with those two players, Robbo and Trent, Robbo's already scored this season. Trent will take free kicks and score a few this season. You hedge your bets a little bit. So I think I'll stick with Trent and Robbo for the season. A, hoping that Jurgen Klopp, you've got to trust, you know, possibly the best manager in the world to sort out this defence at some point. Secondly, I think those two basically play as wingers. But I do think Trent and Robbo are kind of unique and because they get so many assists. But I do agree with Ben that if you're going to go, I do think now Shaw's gone for me, and I think I'm going to get rid of Lucas Digne, even though Everton are flying, because clean sheets are non-existent. It's those two £6 million defenders I've got that I'm thinking I might as well go in, get a 4.5, 4.6. Mm. And Villa's as good an option as any if you're going 4.5, 4.6. They're as good, you know, you're looking at the teams that are solid that are outside the top six are what? Palace, don't concede too many because of Hodgson. You'd say Villa is the other one. It used to be Burnley, but they look ropey at the back. So they're as good an option as anyone. They don't get carved open like West Brom. There's no point putting a West Brom or a Fulham 4.5 million in. You might as well go for a Villa 4.5.
And if you've got like four of them, you can just rotate them every week. Like if one's playing like Liverpool at Anfield and one's playing Fulham at Craven Cottage or something like that, you can just mix them in and out, and that might be quite a good technique. It's just like having the double goalkeepers in it, just switching them through whoever's got the easier fixture.
To be honest, the arrogance of me to suggest any advice to anyone listening to this after the week I've had is really brazen.
Yeah, By the way,
I did some stats and I dropped 1.5 million places this weekend.
Whoa, 1.5 million. Jesus. That is significant.
It shows how close it is at this stage as well, doesn't it? Like you can have a good week and you'll get right back up there. I'm kind of a mixture of all the opinions really on the defence, is that I'll definitely be holding on to Trent and Robbo for now. I want to give them at least, if you know, we're 10 to 15 games in and Liverpool still haven't kept clean sheets and Robbo and Trent are, you know, 10th or 11th out of the defenders, then I'll go, okay, yeah, maybe it's time to get rid. But I think we should give them a bit more time first.
The other thing to remember is we're talking about all these crazy results. That means a lot of goals are getting scored and Liverpool are still scoring goals. Yeah. So Trent and Robbo, if the results are going to stay like this, that means Trent and Robbo are on to probably get more assists than they've ever got in a season before. So
yeah, and I think I prefer Villa attacking wise, actually, Ben. I mean, bringing in Barkley, I think, was a great signing for you. And that midfield, you know, McGinn, Louise, Barkley, Grealish, Watkins, Trezeguet, you got Traore to come in, plus, you know, a fairly solid foundation at the back, all jokes aside. I do think Martinez is probably going to be the best value keeper in the game this season. I'll be looking to bring him in ASAP. But attacking-wise, I mean, how good does Jack Grealish look this season?
He looked like Lionel Messi at some points on the pitch. What's really interesting about the team that played, because this is a new team, you know, we brought so many people in this season that, you know, you can't really start to look at trends just yet. But I think what I was really shocked about is that Ross Barkley is playing really centrally and really attacking. You've got basically a diamond at the front where you've got Watkins at the top of it, Grealish on the left, Barkley kind of in the middle. And then back once again, it's a Trezeguet master out on the right, who, as you said, can be, you know, Traore can come in for him. But because we've got Watkins, who's a striker who loves to stand in the box and put a goal in kind of Shearer-esque, but also the way he was holding the ball, the way he plays, he's happy to move, and you see him out on the wing and he drives back in again. You've got a really flexible, fluid four players there.
That's why I think like Barkley coming in especially like helps the attacking players, because when Barkley gets the ball, like when he was at Everton anyway, he'd get it, he'd literally just turn and just run at the defence, and that's what he does, which is great. And then like the defence just panic, forget where the runner is, forget where the striker is, that sort of thing, and it just causes chaos in the defence. So alongside Grealish, like he's especially going to be advancing forward a little bit more this season.
And a word for John McGinn, who's just so good. McGinniester. Oh, what a man. I mean, he was class up in Scotland, far too good for Scottish football, let's be honest. Came to Villa, looked class in the Championship, was class in the Championship, looked class, had that injury. Looks like he's never been away.
Can we talk about Everton? Because we were talking about squad depth. You know, obviously you are another team who've brought in a lot of players this season. Is there that set starting 11 for Everton?
We were enforced to some changes on the weekend because Andre Gomez and Alan got injured. So Sigurdsson and Tom Davis came in. They were okay, but they were like regulars last season and weren't playing very well. But they came in the week and just looked really good. It was really surprising. But I think the main thing for us this season is that Ancelotti knows who his best 11 is. Like the team who played in that first game against Spurs, where we like ran them off the park, that'll be the same. It'll be Gomez, Decore, Allen in midfield with Richarlison, Rodriguez and Calvert-Lewin up front. Like that's what it's going to be all season. And for the first time in a long time, like we have that starting 11. But the boys who could come in whilst there's injuries do look like they can do a job. But you know you're going to get Calvert-Lewin starting every game. You know you're going to get Richarlison starting every game. You know, it's ideal for FPL because there's no rotation risk for Everton. And considering we're in such good form, like... It just feels wrong putting Everton players in my fantasy team, because that's kind of like the jinx. As soon as I put Calvert-Lewin in my team, he's going to start scoring. I know it.
So, Rich, I'm going to come to you first, and then I'm going to go to Ben. If you could only pick one Everton asset now for your team, who would it be?
Calvert-Lewin.
Calvert-Lewin. Ben, same question. Villa.
Oh, it's got to be Grealish, hasn't it?
I think it's got to be Grealish. He's involved in everything.
Yeah.
Involved in everything.
Okay, there you go. So Grealish and Calvert-Lewin are the shouts from Everton and Villa. If I was to say bring anyone from United in, it would certainly be none of them. So yeah. Or Cavani, who knows? Has Cavani Edinson got a price yet? We haven't discussed the amazing Edinson Cavani.
I know on Cavani's, I'm looking at him now, 8 million on FPL.
Oh, really? Oh, is it? 9.5. Oh, that's all right. That's all
0.2% selected so far. So some people have gone for him.
Well, that'll be him and his son.
I think he'll...
With that hair, he's probably got about 20 kids as well.
Yeah, he probably has, yeah. Just kids with immaculate hair.
Yeah. Handsome bastards.
The son of Zeus.
I mean, I certainly think he'll play the next few weeks, because Martial is going to be suspended, isn't he, for the Lamella incident. So... you'd just be a fool to put him in, I think, when there's so many other good strikers out there right now scoring goals. Why would you put in 33-year-old Cavani?
Do you not reckon Igalo will start over Cavani?
No.
Never asked that question before.
Absolutely.
Hey, how fit is Cavani? Because he didn't play that much last year. Well,
he's been living in Uruguay. He's not at a club all summer, so it might take him 6 weeks to reach fitness. I mean, I liked what he said in his first interview. He said he was going to work, which is exactly what United need at the moment. A little bit of effort would be great. But yeah, like you say, who knows if he's even fit?
Didn't Rihanna say that first?
She might have said... She did.
Can somebody remix that, Ben? If you could remix that for next week, that'd be fantastic.
Oh my god! You've got to.
Let's answer some questions then, Luke. Have you got a list in front of you? Some questions.
I'm just loading it up now.
Because we put a tweet out to aim some questions at Toby, didn't we? So
we did. Yes.
Hopefully, there's some for Toby to answer.
I misread it.
Getting in touch, actually, Toby.
Oh, really? Yeah. I misread it, and I thought that Luke had tweeted asking if anybody wanted any advice from me, and I was like, probably not. I'll be honest, on the strength of that, but.
Oh, man. Right, so we've got James Priestley, who friend of the podcast. He interacts with us all the time at JP Navara. He says, I'd say Toby is beyond help. Good job he has a penis-based radio show to fall back on.
is that beyond help fantasy football-wise or just lifestyle?
I sincerely hope he means fantasy football.
So do I, but they're both fair, both valid points.
I wouldn't have that him commenting on your life. No.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks, mate.
And then he's also said, how about thoughts on must-haves for those of us wildcarding? I presume he's playing his wild card over the international break. Players and or teams. So should we all just have a quick 30 seconds on players and or teams for the for a wild card? Who should he be thinking about? Do you want to start, Rich?
Yeah, so for me, James Rodriguez, you've got to get him in because he's so cheap, and I think he's made more chances than any other player in the Premier League so far this season, and Everton don't look like they're going to... I mean, we've got Liverpool in our next game, so we could stumble there, but we've been in great form, and if you've got a team in great form, you've got to put players from that team in your FPL squad. So yeah, James Rodriguez, probably put Calvert-Lewin in there as well, and I've been really impressed with that Castagne at Leicester as well. He looks really good if you take out the result at West Ham the other day. But yeah, if I was to pick three players, I'd pick those three players for sure.
Toby?
It's always a tough one now because although we're only a few weeks in, you start, you know, when you start putting in players that have got off to a flyer, you always fear, like I said with Son earlier, have I missed the best of them? You know, like, you know, are they going to sustain it for 38 games? It's a tough one. Differentials wise, I watched a lot of him in the Championship and I always liked Jarrod Bowen. And he's come in now. He's 6.5 million and he's scored a couple of goals in the last few weeks. Great goal scoring record in the Championship. Really strong. I think suited for the league. I think he's a really cheeky differential. And I think he's one you get him now. And if he goes on to do really well, you'll have got him before everybody else. So he's my random rogue pick. So you can come back and abuse me later in the season when he does nothing. But I watched him a lot in the Championship and I really liked him there. He scored no goals when they signed him in January. And I thought, oh, maybe he's not cut out for it. But he's looked really sharp. Basically, as long as David Moyes has got COVID, Jarrod Bowen's a hell of a player.
Yeah, exactly.
So Moyes is miles away from the training ground, miles away from the matches. He's quality.
Exactly that. But so he's my random differential, maybe rather. He's not a must-have, so I've ignored your question, but he's my random differential I'm going to throw in there.
Yeah, I like that as a shout. And he's actually gone down in price to 6.3 million now.
So, practically giving him away.
Even better bargain, yeah. So I'd definitely keep my eye on him. And have a look at Callum Wilson as well. I mean, he's been smashing it. You just got to know when to come off Callum Wilson. And I think fixtures dictate that. I also like Brighton. I also like Morpay. Even though Everton kind of battered them defensively, they're not so sound. And I don't like having Matt Ryan in goal anymore. But going forward... They've looked really good, and I think Morpay's got 4 in 4. So, and I think they've got some decent fixtures coming up. So he might be good as well.
He also, we saw what Ollie Watkins did for Villa, and Morpay scored more goals for Brentford than Ollie Watkins ever did. So if he really gets used to the Premier League this season, could be a hell of a player. And takes penalties, and there's penalties happening all over the gaff at the minute. So, it could be a good option.
I think that's it with the penalties, because there are going to be... There's already a record number of penalties. It's going to continue. I think the two players that I am most worried about not owning are Kane and Vardy at the moment. Ezri Konsa is less than 5% owned as a cheeky little differential.
I for goal.
I think the penalty takers, I think you really should look at who's on pens. Because it's just, until fans are back, there's going to be loads of goals, there's going to be loads of dirty challenges, there's going to be loads of cards, there's going to be loads and loads and loads and loads of penalties. Callum Wilson looks like he is going to be on penalties properly for his new team. For Leeds, for example, Clich is the penalty taker for Leeds. You know, getting these players in, he's not much at all, and Leeds have been banging in some goals, to be fair. They're playing some pretty racy games at the moment. They're interesting to watch. So... I think penalty takers for me, if I was on a wild card, just pack them with penalty takers.
Good shout.
There you go. I mean, that Leeds City game was fantastic, wasn't it? We haven't even spoken about City just because of the madness of the other results. But nobody's really that essential at the moment. But there's lots of options scoring goals. Andrew Taylor at Choirboy, PolyXXL, one interesting Twitter handle. Is Bale a consideration yet?
No.
Not yet. He's had a lot of injuries, and he prefers golf. So I'd whack I'd spend more money on him winning the BMW Championship at the weekend than I would bet on him getting any points in the FPL, to be honest with you.
Yeah, avoid him for sure. Maybe around Christmas time, I'll consider
that. If he comes back and he looks mustard, then get him in. But at the moment, there's no guarantees he's going to play anytime soon. I think Mourinho will ease him back in massively.
Yeah, I think even Bergwijn will be ahead of him for quite some time.
Here we go. Speaking of returning players, what about Frio Walcott at Southampton?
Oh, yeah. He'll be good for them. I mean, Everton are playing half his wages. Theo Walcott was on $100,000 a week at Everton. That is the Big Sam legacy right there. But yeah, he'd be a good little sign for Southampton, I think. Because
have you still got on the books Yannick Bolasie? Has he gone yet?
Oh, mate, don't tell me. I don't even know what he's doing. I think he's like working in the cafeteria or something.
Like,
I don't know
what he's doing. Yeah. He was still there at the end of last season, and I couldn't believe it. He was still on the books.
We sent him out on loan to Anderlecht. We sent him out on loan to Sport in Lisbon. And I think we sent him to somewhere in Turkey. And he still doesn't get the hint that we don't want him at Everton.
Am I making this up? You didn't pay 50 million for him, did you?
Oh, no, we didn't pay 50 million. No,
Okay, yeah.
I still think we paid close to 30 million for him,
right,
which isn't ideal.
Okay, yeah,
but we still got him. We still got Cenk Tosun.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Do you remember the young lad, Sandro Ramirez, who was one of the standout players, like the under-20 World Cup
the
or something?
The bald striker.
Yeah, who was like 18. Yeah. We just sent him out for free to Huesca in the second division of Spanish football. So he grew into his potential. Definitely.
Yeah. So if you've got him in your fantasy football team, definitely take him out.
Also, big shout out to my substitute keeper, Nieland, who's had his contract terminated and currently isn't without a club, but he's still in my FPL team.
Same here.
Go ahead, Nieland, lad.
And you know what's great about that, Rich? His price won't drop.
Hey, result.
At least I don't think it will. I might be wrong.
I've actually never seen that before, because normally this is such a weird season that normally contracts are all sorted once the games have started. So I genuinely don't know what they do with that. I've no idea.
No idea at all. And I've seen Welbeck got released as well by Watford, and that has got West Ham signing him written over it. Welbeck to West Ham on a free. It's happening.
Or one of West Brom or Fulham in a desperation bid as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Walcott might be an option, you know. Keep an eye on him, because he might play as a striker alongside Danny Ings, I've heard. I know Shea Adams is playing there at the moment, but it might be worth just keeping a little eye on Theo Walcott, but then he'll probably get injured, won't he? So
he will
or be offside.
Great. And then there's one from Alan Duffin at Duff73. He says, should I take a -20? Even if you say no, I probably will.
How many transfers is that? Is that five transfers?
Jesus. I'm going to say yes, Alan, because I'm in a mini league with him that he's organised, and I'm currently, I think, second in that mini league, and he's a very good FPL player. So I'm going to say yes, Alan, take that -20.
Just as a social experiment, I'd like him to take it and then report back.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah,
that's not Alan.
Exactly. That's about it, I think, Ben, isn't it?
Yeah.
Twitter been rambling on for a while.
Should we just do a quick let's just do a quick rundown of the top five of our Triple Captain Fantasy League? Can you do it, Ben, please?
Yes. I mean, it takes me a while to scroll there because I am so far down the Triple Captain Fantasy League at the moment. But in at number five, Jota Lotta Hope. Ian Coles is currently on 257 points. The Sea Turtles in fourth, Rob Yates, 260. My brother, and I've not heard the end of this all week, Coronavirus FC, Charlos Anderini, in at third with 262. Oh, wow. I know why. In at second, Luke Jurdy, Triple Captain Podcast.
The smugness.
265. And then Sausage and Cash, who I imagine is a Villa fan, up the Villa, Christopher Thompson, 273 at the moment. This game week, the leader of the Triple Captain Fantasy League got 108 points.
Wow.
108.
That's really good. Well done, Christopher Thompson, Sausage and Cash FC.
That is a huge score. Great.
If you'd like to join, by the way, XL, it's always nice and easy, rolls off the tongue, XLCX4H. That league code again. XLCX4H for the Triple Captain Fantasy League. And thank you.
Excellent.
Announcement's over.
So what are we, and any plans for now with our teams, or are we just waiting until the international fixtures are over?
Waiting. Yeah. I'm going to wait. It depends on Richarlison's injury as well for me. I'd ideally leave him in, but if I have to take him out, I'll just have to, you know, make do and bring Calvert-Lewin in instead and just use my transfer on that. But yeah, it's probably just best to wait, right? Yeah.
There is absolutely no reason why you should ever not make your subs last minute every week, but you just stare at your fantasy football app a week and then you get bored and go, screw it, I'm just going to press a button because I'm bored. Let's be honest, there is no reason why you shouldn't always wait until right near the end so you can check who's fit, check everything. But instead, I get to about Wednesday and go, I'm going to make a sub, I'm bored. And that's exactly how it works out.
And what about you, Ben? You got any plans for your team yet or not?
I'm actually going to hold. I'm going to, for the first time, I've already pulled my wild card trigger as well, Toby.
Right, it's
week three for me.
Right.
But you know what? I'm actually quite excited to see what Timo Werner's going to do at home against Southampton. So one last roll of the dice on that for me. But
I'm similar. I really don't know what to do, to be honest. I mean, the team are performing quite well. I mean, I'm thinking I want Calvert-Lewin, but then I think, well, he's playing Liverpool and Ings is playing Chelsea. He's got the better fixture there. And then it's like, well, maybe I should get rid of Wilson, but he's playing United, so actually he's probably going to score a hat-trick, so I'll probably keep Wilson in. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. Trezeguet is still starting for Villa, isn't he? So I feel like I shouldn't get rid of him yet. So, yeah, I'm not sure, really. I may even make some transfers for my bench.
Oh, interesting.
It's a nice position to be in.
So boring. But Brewster for Davis looks like a pretty good option because it looks like a 4.5 playing forward would be great, wouldn't it? So, that's about it then, boys, I think.
Cool. Good chat. Did you get a lot off your chest there, Toby? Do you feel like you've had a good therapy session there?
That helped. That genuinely helped. I'm gonna go to bed and just look at photos of Oriol Romeo before I go to sleep.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I'll kiss my framed picture of Oriol next to the bed before I go to sleep. That's it. Yeah.
I think we should have Toby on as regularly as possible. This has been absolutely brilliant.
Well, can I come back on when I've done a bit better? Is that all right?
Yeah, I feel like we've thrown you into the deep end this week after Liverpool have been spanked and you've had the worst week of your life.
Trust me, I get 120 points next week, I'll be WhatsApping Rich going, hey, what's the Zoom code, lads?
Oh, mate, yeah, you're welcome back anytime. Nice one for coming.
Cheers,
on.
Cheers, lads. No worries, guys. Good to see you all.
Cool. So I guess all that's left for us to say is follow us at @TripleCaptain3 on Instagram, the same on Twitter as well. And remember, if you've got any questions, send them over there. And that's where we update you whenever this has been released as well. And what are we going into? Are we going to say good luck with game week 5? We're going to do another little episode, aren't we, presumably, before game week 5?
Yeah, I think we should do, Ben's nodding as well, so I think we should do a little 15 to 20 minute preview of game week 5.
Sound. All right, we'll keep your eyes peeled for that, and we'll see you then.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like the Dan and Katie Daily.
Right, guys, production meeting. Sorry, I know you didn't want to carry on with your days, but we need to make a promo.
About the podcast?
Yeah, about the podcast.
Okay, well, it's a podcast. Yeah. We make it. Go listen to it. See ya. That's what, like that?
Well, no, but... No.
Hi, this is Dan, Katie and Posh Ben, and this is our promo for our show. I forgot the show.
Hello, this is Dan and Katie, and this is our podcast. It's the Dan and Katie Daily.
Clever, isn't it?
Subscribe.
Review.
Share.
Yeah.
When you said share, I thought of actual share.
Actual share.
So, this is the Dan and Katie Daily. Search for us and subscribe now in your favourite podcast app.
Yeah.
We'll get something slick out of that.
All right.
Yeah.
The Dan and Katie Daily from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.